In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Overwhelmed by investing?
If you're anything like us, the hardest part is getting started. That's why we created the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Our goal is to help simplify money so it can work for you.
We invite guests to demystify investing.
At least try to be setting aside like the minimum 10% into the 401k.
We'll teach you the basics of the market.
Yeah, I think compound interest should be at the start of any discussion about investing. And
we've had investment professionals who teach in a simple way.
A valuation-driven bear market. You know, we haven't really seen yet, and I think everyone's thinking about it, but we haven't really seen yet.
Our Q&A episodes feature questions from listeners just like you.
So what do you think about the situation with ETBI, which is Activision?
I'm Dave Ahern.
And I'm Andrew Sather.
And we hope you join us on the Investing for Beginners podcast.
On the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Following the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
Hey there, welcome once again to another edition of Strange Planet. Thanks as always for sticking me in your ear. And if you'd like to get a little deeper into Strange Planet, you might want to consider becoming a premium subscriber. There are three tiers to choose from. Choose the one that's right for you. It's real easy. Just click on the link in the episode notes, strangeplanet.supportingcast.fm, strangeplanet.supportingcast.fm, and you gain access to commercial-free listening. We love our sponsors, but sometimes, you know, it's nice just to listen without the commercials. You gain access to bonus episodes and a subscription to my monthly newsletter, Inner Sanctum, strangeplanet.supportingcast.fm. And I have to apologize for those of you on the Rumble channel. My Sony camera, video camera, has decided to quit on me. It's not charging properly, so you won't see my video, but you don't need to see me. You don't need to see my mug staring back at you all the time. The important person here, he's got his camera operating, and he may share a few slides or videos from time to time, so that's the important stuff. In the meantime, I'll get to work with my IT department, aka my twin boys, and they'll figure this out, hopefully in short order. All right, Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, what happened? This was for those maybe who don't recall, the international passenger flight operated by Malaysia Airlines, and it disappeared, vanished from radar back on the 8th of March 2014. It was flying from Kuala Lumpur International Airport in Malaysia. Its final destination was international airport in Beijing, China. And the reason for the disappearance has never been conclusively determined. All 227 passengers, 12 crew aboard, have been presumed dead. And the search for this missing airplane became the most expensive search in the history of aviation. It focused initially on the South China Sea. Before this, a novel analysis of the aircraft's automated communications indicated that the plane had traveled far southward over the southern Indian Ocean. However, it still remains a mystery, or perhaps not. Perhaps not. It may have, in fact, been solved. You are in for a wild ride. And I'm just going to turn things over to my guest, who's been researching what may have happened to MH370. Ashton Forbes, welcome to Strange Planet. How are you?
Hey, Richard. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing great tonight. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you. I want you to introduce yourself because, you know, there's certain aspects of your career that you may not want to divulge, and I don't want to slip up and say something that's going to jeopardize your career. So just give us kind of a brief sketch of your background, who you are, what you do a little bit, and then we'll get into what you've discovered.
Yeah, well, I'm a healthcare IT consultant. I've made that public knowledge. I can't go into much more depth on that. But in order to establish my credibility, I have disclosed that I have a top secret government clearance related to my job. My job has nothing to do with advanced technology, UAPs, or any types of investigations. I just got interested in this particular investigation. I haven't been interested in anything else related to this beforehand, just due to the nature of the videos that we're going to be disclosing today, and then the accumulated body of evidence that goes along with them, which has grown so extensive that I think that we can convince pretty much anybody that what we're looking at in these videos is the true fate of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370.
This is a Boeing 777 and some remarkable footage, supposedly from a U.S. drone and a satellite, which has kind of reignited this whole mystery. Is that what we're looking at now in the video? And for those just listening on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast, we'll kind of try to paint you a mental image of what we're looking at. This is satellite imagery video or drone footage we're seeing right now.
So we believe this one here is the SBIRS system, potentially, which is the space-based infrared system. Now, it wasn't previously known that these satellites could take video, but it does make sense they should be able to, since video is simply images that are overlaid over one another. And so we believe there is a satellite here that is taking this data and sending it to the SBIRS system using SIGINT, signals intelligence, to create what we see here is this video of a 777-200. The 777-200 has the same color tone of Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. It's light on the top, it's dark on the bottom. And in the other video that we'll show here in a little bit, which is a thermal of an MQ-1C Grey Eagle, it actually has an exact overlay of the thermal over a Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. It's a perfect match.
And who gained access to this video and how would they do that?
So the first account that uploaded this online, which we found the archive footage of this, goes back to March 12th, 2014, just 4 days after the event, by an account named Regicide Anon. Now that date is the receive date listed in the description. The actual upload date is May 19th, 2014, which is roughly 70 days later. This seems to indicate that potentially this person that uploaded it had to be convinced that this footage was real. The reason for that is that we see in the source, it says protected. In addition, this YouTube uploader, Regicide Anon, is just a random UFO account uploader. They had a bunch of other videos they had posted before this, but this one seems to have impacted them greatly. 3 days after they uploaded this video that we're staring at right now, May 22nd, 2014, they made a Twitter account. In that Twitter account, they mention, check this video out before it's deleted. And they also tag MH370. Despite the fact that their video they uploaded didn't mention MH370 at all. So you can tell right away that there's some unusual stuff happening in this video. The plane has a smoke trail going behind it. Yes. And we know this is smoke because we see cumulus clouds here. Cumulus clouds only form at low altitudes between 1 and 5,000 feet. So this plane is flying relatively low here.
It's not a contrail because if it would have to be at a higher altitude in order for the vapor, the water vapor, to condense.
Yeah, 30,000 feet and above usually for contrails, unless the conditions are perfect.
So it must be a smoke trail. The plane is in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. And we see this orb shoot out at about Mach 2, Mach 3 speeds, extremely fast speeds. And then immediately two more orbs appear next to it.
Right.
And they begin this triangle formation we see here. And this is a very clear pattern that's being formed around. It's actually encircling the plane over time. We see the perspective change.
Counterclockwise, and then it rotates to clockwise, spinning around the plane.
It changes a couple times. And then what we see here now is that it actually becomes like a ring around it. And it stays in this ring pattern. And then all of a sudden, zap, the plane is just gone.
It's gone. Now, vanished.
When the zap happens, you can actually see the illumination of the clouds as well. And these clouds are very highly detailed, which indicate that this is probably not a fake because it would take a tremendous amount of work in order to do that. And when the zap happens, it accurately illuminates the clouds in the foreground and in the background, which is another indicator that potentially everything we're seeing here is real. Even these orbs, even this zap action where the plane disappears. Not only does the plane disappear, the smoke trail stops too, which is indicative of that this is not some kind of cloaking or magic trick that's happening, because if it was cloaking, we'd see the smoke trail continue on forward as if the plane was, you know, just invisible. So the person that leaked this probably did so with quite a bit of intent. We can see that they're following the plane and they're changing the perspective. We can see there's some coordinates in the bottom left. These coordinates indicate the Nicobar Islands, which is actually where this plane was at around 1840 UTC. In fact, this is the same location where they say that the plane turned into the South Indian Ocean in the official narrative. So the dates here are very damning, because the date of the South Indian Ocean narrative is March 13th, 2014, which is one day after supposedly Regicide Anon received this footage.
When did you pick up on this? When did you become involved in this, let's call it an internet investigation?
Yeah, and I think this is the first ever community began or originated investigation. It happened around August 8th, 2023. The footage has been out there from 2014. People have seen it. I actually saw it in 2014. At least I saw the thermal, which I'm about to pull up now. But I had no basis to understand that this was real. When I saw this in 2014, I thought I was looking at, you know, I don't even know what, maybe a video game or something. I didn't even know what FLIR footage would look like, which is the forward-facing infrared that these drones have. It wasn't until 2017 when those DOD Navy videos were declassified that I realized, yeah, the Tic Tac, that, you know, this is what drones actually look like. You know, I had no idea. So when this reemerged in 2023, and it had been posted in January on the UFOs subreddit, and it had been downvoted, and people said, oh, this is, you know, it hurts the families and all these types of excuses on there. But when it got reposted again in August, people started to look at it in much more detail. And there was dozens of threads posted about every aspect of the video, trying to either authenticate it or debunk it. Many of the debunkers actually did more of a job authenticating it than debunking it, surprisingly.
Really? Can you give me an example of how they inadvertently did that?
Yeah. So the people that would try to say that the plane couldn't make this kind of turn, they said that this turn that we're seeing here is not capable of a 777-200. Turns out that's because it's descending. And if it's descending, then it's actually maxing out the real capabilities of a 777-200. The person that actually showed us the zap, it accurately illuminates the clouds, they actually don't even think the footage is real. But they went ahead and gave us some of the strongest evidence that the entire footage is real, including the zap that we see at the end, because of the fact that it does accurately illuminate these volumetric clouds that are extremely detailed. And then in addition to that, one person also tried to say that this mouse, I'll go back to it real quick, in the satellite, we can see the mouse. The mouse that we see on the screen, this black mouse that you can see there.
Like a cursor.
The cursor. Yeah. This does not update the coordinates. So when this mouse moves, it's not updating the coordinates, indicating that they're either pressing like the middle mouse or they have a second analog or something going on here. So they thought there might be a way that they could prove that's fake from this, because this mouse is running at 24 frames per second and the background is running at 6 frames per second. So they saw this discrepancy and said, oh, we can potentially prove this is fake somehow. Turned out to prove the whole thing's real, because the 24 frames per second of this mouse is indicative of a Citrix session logged into the actual Intelsat satellite database, which the satellite is showing 6 frames per second because it's a very wide field of view from potentially 1,000 kilometers in the sky.
Wow, that's pretty deep in the weeds. That's beyond my pay grade, but I'll take your word for it. So now the person who posted this originally back in 2014, Did they ever sort of resurface and comment in the community?
They haven't, which is a little bit surprising because you would think that the person was, you know, who posted this originally would want to come out and say, oh, hey, I'm the person that posted this. This is real or what have you, which is a little scary to me because I might think that that person may have been silenced to some degree. We do think we know who the leaker is, but we can go into that a little bit later because there was actually a big update today on that.
Pardon the interruption. I'm going to take a quick time out. We'll come back as Ashton Forbes is with us. We are unraveling, or rather he is unraveling the mystery, the disappearance of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 almost 10 years ago, and playing some remarkable satellite imagery, a video for us. Back with more of our conversation in just a couple minutes. Stay with us.
We all enjoy a little mystery. Every other week, One Strange Thing presents forgotten stories from America's newspaper archives. They all have something in common, a single element that can't quite be explained. Join us on One Strange Thing, and you'll hear about a man who was literally stricken with genius. A 21st century child who remembered piloting a World War II bomber. A mysterious, unidentifiable blob in Texas. And then there was the lizard man stalking through small-town South Carolina. From cryptids and disappearances to modern-day miracles, One Strange Thing brings you stories that are very real and just a little otherworldly. Subscribe now, wherever you listen.
As you're staring up at the night sky, ever wonder who's staring back? You're listening to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Ashton Forbes. Okay, so again, on Rumble, you can see we've got, what is this? Is that like thermal imaging from the same satellite that we're looking at?
So this is a second video, completely second one. This is when August 8th, I got really interested because it's very, I have been following UFOlogy since 2017, since those DOD Navy footage came out. And I thought, okay, I'm going to start seeing if anything else interesting comes out. And this is when we saw the second video from a different angle. Now this angle is from the north. The other one we were looking at was from probably around the southeast, and it's from outer space. This angle here is from a, kind of a direct horizontal view to the plane. And so this is from an MQ-1C Gray Eagle, which is produced by General Atomics.
It's a drone.
Yeah, a drone. And somebody from who knows somebody from General Atomics told me that their friend looked at this and said that this is what they would look like. Now, interesting enough, we see the same orbs here, completely different angle. So if this was fake, then somebody had to create a 3D rendered environment in order to create these multiple different angles that we see
right,
here.
Right.
So very complex. There's several factors that someone, unless they were the most creative person on Earth, could never think of. There's no basis for them. First, these orbs. See these trails? These black trails are actually not behind the orbs. They're coming from in front of the orbs. They're leading the orbs. This is explained as them creating their own geodesics, which is their own gravity, essentially. The way gravity works is everybody thinks of it like a graviton. There is no graviton pulling things down. Gravity is explained fully by mass warping space-time. And that time moves forward and things converge along the curvature of that's created from that. So what these are doing is they're creating their own curvature that they're following. They're also ignoring gravity entirely, which is explained by the fact that these are potentially just fields around a much smaller object. And they're potentially using room temperature superconductivity, either from metamaterials that can create that, like we've heard of LK99, or they might be able to induce the superconductivity from a repeated accelerated pulse that allows for room temperature superconductivity without those metamaterials.
Is this based on your, do you have a background in this knowledge or did you seek out other, or is this part of the internet investigation community, other people weighing in saying, I think I might know what those are or what caused those black lines, et cetera?
So it started with that and the very earliest research came from the community. And then they got censored around August 19th, which was almost 3 months ago. Since then, I have taken the reins of the investigation. I've definitely put in the most work in the investigation in general. I've started to get tutored by physicists who have been reaching out to me, physicists and engineers, I did an interview with Salvatore Pius, who is famous for patenting what people call UFO patents, which I think is a little bit does him some injustice, because the patents that he puts out there are just advanced technology. They can describe UFOs, but they can also describe what we're seeing here now. And so room temperature superconductors can explain how these orbs are able to essentially ignore gravity by reducing their mass to zero, which essentially pulls them outside of physical kind of the physical realm as we would think of it. Now, they're still here in our universe, but they're not being affected by the gravity of the Earth. And so that's huge, because room temperature superconductivity can explain pretty much everything that we need to have happen in these videos. They appear to be mapping the plane, these orbs. I don't think there's not little people or little aliens inside these. These are being run by a computer program. It's too exact. Their patterns are too specific. They seem to have a very clear purpose in their intent here.
Mapping now, we don't need to delve into whether these are extraterrestrial at the moment, but yeah. I know the answer that based on, you know, earlier conversations over email and so forth. But okay, so and why this is a thermal image? Mm-hmm. Why did the drone decide to collect a thermal image of this?
Yeah, so probably it intercepted it. So the real situation that would have happened with this plane is a lithium ion battery fire, which explains the flight path much better than any other explanations to date. When this plane went dark at 1721 UTC, the 500 pounds of lithium ion batteries that were put together that day that were missed two security screenings most likely ignited. People have now probably been very familiar with the dangers of lithium ion batteries. A year after this event, the FAA stopped allowing them in the cargo bay of passenger planes. Because there's nobody down there monitoring them. So they start to smoke up. There's nobody who's seen it happen.
You're saying right? Snuck those on the plane deliberately?
No, they were actually just on the plane, because before this, people didn't realize the dangers of them. So they were just carrying these in the cargo, 500 pounds of them. It's a lot of lithium ion batteries.
So I see a very belly hot night. I see a belly in the belly of the plane. I see a little orange in the thermal imaging. That's the fire, the lithium battery.
So we don't think this is necessarily the fire, but this is the smoke billowing out from, this is where the landing gear is. And there's two heat exhaust ports here. So probably what's happening is the smoke from inside, which is in the cargo bays that we can't see for the fire, is traveling through the air conditioning ducts. And then we can actually see the smoke here at the end of the plane coming out of the back of the plane right here from the ducts. You can tell it's not coming from the engines either. So this heat signature is most likely indicative. It could be fire in there, but more likely is just the hot air from inside the plane just getting poured out from the back of the plane here.
Okay.
Next
question. The drone that intercepted it, I mean, where did it come from? How did it know where to go? Who sent it?
Yeah, so we think that what happened is when this plane went dark, they didn't actually lose all communications. Yes, they may have lost power, and the pilot may have switched the circuitry to try to figure out where the circuit break was, and then made the plane go dark. But there's actually some evidence that the communications were still on. At 1730 UTC, 10 minutes after this plane goes dark, there is a communication from another 777-200 where the pilot did not want to be named, that says they heard the pilot's voice or the co-pilot's voice from MH370. There was also an intercepted communication at 1843 UTC or 2:43 AM Malaysian local time, only reported in Chinese news. They claimed to be a secret intercepted communication from like the Thai embassy that was supposedly of MH370 claiming the plane was disintegrating and attempting an emergency landing. We found there was a witness at 1840 UTC in the Nicobar Islands, Kate T. She was on a boat going from India to Phuket. She saw a glowing orange plane. She reported this sighting a few days later after she landed. She's done a bunch of blog posts about it. The glowing orange plane is consistent with the fire extinguishing devices, this halon fire extinguishing devices, producing bromine gas, which is a chemical reaction that it can produce that causes an orange gas to permeate throughout the entire plane. This was the kind of the missing link in terms of figuring out what really happened in this plane. And then we found out all the other witnesses that had been discredited all saw the same thing too. Mike McKay sees this plane start on fire at 1720 when it goes dark from an oil rig hundreds of miles away. He can see it off in the distance at cruising altitude. There were people along the coast that heard loud noises at the exact same time, nine of them. And then 10 minutes later, the same time that communication we were talking about, the early one, there's eight fishermen on a boat that see this plane flying very low. Most likely this plane did get depressurized, but the pilot wasn't trying to kill everybody. He was flying low so that they had enough oxygen to breathe. Quite the opposite of that. And that's why they're flying to Penang initially, because that's the closest airport you should go to in an emergency. Now, if you can't land there because they didn't, most likely that meant the landing gear was damaged. The next thing you're supposed to do is you're supposed to try to land on the belly of the plane without the landing gear, surprisingly, on land.
Right.
The problem with that is it's filled with fuel. So if you try to do that, this plane is going to explode. And if you try to dump the fuel while your plane's on fire, it doesn't seem like a very good recipe either. So the next thing you're supposed to do is try to land in the water. So we believe what happened then is they were in communication with the U.S. government and that they had a rendezvous point of the Nicobar Islands. That's why it flies through the Straits of Malacca. There are drones stationed at some of the bases there. They're co-India and United States little bases there. There was also some training exercises that were about to happen on March 10th between Thailand and the U.S. So it's very plausible that the assets were in the area. The satellite most likely got operationalized. Now, you can't move these satellites around, but you can have somebody be in the right place at the right time to take the satellite video. So we think that this is a combination of using this SBIRS system in order to create that video there and have all these interconnected devices. Now, while we're watching this, we can tell the drone's being manually operated. They're not automatically tracking this like in those the TikTok videos where they have like the tracker automatically on it.
Right.
In this case, they're following it manually, which is indicative of them knowing what's about to happen. They actually zoom out right before this zap happens, which also is indicative of them knowing what to
happen. They know what is about to happen. They zoom out to capture those orbs. And then, as you say, the zap.
Yeah. And this zap is really interesting. And so a guy named Bob Greenier has actually really helped us understand what's happening here a lot better.
Okay. I'm going to jump in here. Commercial timeout. We'll get to what he explained as he explains what's happening, or Ashton Forbes explaining what we're seeing here. Remarkable. The mystery of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 perhaps solved, and you won't believe what quite possibly has happened to this aircraft and all 227 passengers and 12 crew aboard back in 2014. Back with more of Strange Planet right after this.
It's time to redefine reality. This is Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Ashton Forbes stays with us. Ashton, is there a website you can direct us to where people can sort of follow the investigation?
Yeah, the best place right now is on Twitter, where, or X Corp, I guess you can call it that. And my handle is @JustXAshton. You guys can still follow along this investigation. You know, we think we have a really good idea of what's going on with it, but until we get answers from the U.S. government, this investigation will not be complete. So now is your chance to be part of the greatest conspiracy of all time, the real story of MH370.
Give us your handle again.
@JustXAshton. And you can also find me on YouTube as well. I just started a YouTube channel where I interviewed Salvatore Pius. It's gotten a lot of attention. You may want to check that out as well.
Okay. So a gentleman, what was his name? Bob Greenier.
Yeah. And he had put a video out that was called Fractal Toroidal Moments. And he thinks that what we're looking at here is essentially explained fully by what his research in the past into green energy and these toroidal movements is. He actually points to this heat signature that we see here. It's almost like a half circle. And he thinks that these are the monopoles where the potentially like laser beams are sending these pulses out that create the geodesics. And interestingly enough, when we watch this in slow-mo, you can see that they actually at the last moment begin to orient towards the center of the plane.
Yes.
Right as they converge on the plane at the same time. And so what we think is happening here is they are then kind of converging these pulses together into one point to exploit potentially free energy. The amount of energy it would take to make this plane disappear is astronomical. So we think that they're abusing superconductivity and this pulse action here to create a high energy. I'm not going to probably say this right, not necessarily a field, but they are essentially going ahead and they are converting this plane using a transitional phase change to this plane, which it allows it to obtain the properties of quanta. What this means is that there is a unifying theory of quanta and macro that's out there, potentially being held secret from us. And that's a huge aspect of this whole case, probably bigger even than the plane itself.
So these orbs created what? A portal, a wormhole?
I've moved away from the portal and wormhole explanations. I think that's a little bit too esoteric. The way that it's being described is that their combined toroidal movements can cohere electrons. And when these electrons cohere, they self-organize into a matter wave. This allows for solid-state objects to achieve macroscopic quantum coherence. So if you were to think about something that's very tiny, an atom with electrons flowing around it, if you were to smash those electrons apart and then you have a bunch of atoms grouped together, you can have those atoms flow around the group of atoms and now obtain the same properties as the single atom, which we know can have quantum properties, quantum teleportation, non-locality, quantum entanglement. And so what this is doing here is when they converge, they're creating their own azimuth as they collapse on the plane. And then the orbs induce that that transitional phase state change. The low temperatures are what allow these electrons to couple and move as one. So this toroidal moments actually create a unification of the forces that induce this phase singularity. Now, the reason why it's not a black hole is because we don't see the clouds get sucked in.
Excellent point. Yeah.
So since we see so little movement, it's almost just like the matter is just changing forms. Or a better explanation is that the quantum properties include mass reduction. And that since time is a fluid symmetry, the faster time flows, the less inertia, therefore less gravity, zero Gs.
All right, Ashton, in plain English, what happened to the plane?
Yeah, so in the plain English, this plane is speeding up like Quicksilver from the Marvel movies and moving fast as the speed of light, potentially even faster. So if you want an analogy for it, then what's happening is think of a bug, a tiny fly. How can the tiny fly move so fast, even though it's so tiny relative to our size?
Yes.
And the answer is the less mass, the faster the time flows, the faster speed you can obtain. Same with an ant as well. You see, the ants can move super fast along the ground, even though they're so tiny. So if you were to scale it up, they would be moving much faster. However, if you scale them up, now they're going to be moving slower because they have more mass. So this is really how you would explain it. And that means that what is out there is there's this unifying theory of quantum and macro that allows these planes or solid state objects to literally teleport. Now, the reason why we can't see it in better detail is because there's a frame rate on these cameras. And so the teleportation, the movement's happening faster than the frame rate can catch. So that's why it looks like it just disappears to us. But what's really happening is it's just speeding up. Now, in the very last frame here, I'll try to catch it. It blurs. You can see the plane actually blur from the previous frame. And when the plane blurs like that, you see that blur right there? Yes. This is actually because the plane is accelerating in this moment. And this outline actually shrinks a tiny bit, which actually shows the mass reduction as well. So this is, in my opinion, this frame is absolute proof of the science that we're talking about here. So this is the part that blows my mind personally.
It sped up. It didn't disappear. It didn't get teleported. Where did it go?
And that's the part where we can only speculate. No, we don't have two other videos on the other side that are showing us this plane reappearing, as far as we know. I mean, maybe they're out there, you know? So that's the part where we can only speculate. I think that based on circumstantial evidence, this plane somehow really did get to Diego Garcia military base. That's what people have speculated. That's what all the conspiracy theories have speculated. The evidence for it, strongest evidence, would be the sighting in the Maldives, which was just ignored, that supposedly was... Some people that were living on this island that's just north of the Diego Garcia military base said they saw the plane, they saw the windows at 6 a.m. with the red and blue stripe of Malaysia Airlines on it. There was also a fire suppression device from a B-77 that washed up there, also was ignored, even though there's a serial number on it. And these fire suppression devices, it looks like an old like cartoon bomb. They're very, very unique looking. So it's really unusual to me that the Maldives was intentionally excluded from the search. And that they cast doubt on all of these witnesses. But again, this is highly speculative, but that's really one of the only places, at least on Earth, that you would be able to hide this plane. Your other options are it could go to another dimension, I guess. It could go to another planet, another place in the universe. It could go forward in time, because time dilation is real as well. A lot of people don't understand this, but what happened in the movie Interstellar, where Matthew McConaughey goes to the planet and then they come back from the planet to the space station. It's been 20 years later. That's also explained by the science I just mentioned. Because they're close to the black hole, when they go to the planet, there's a lot more mass happening there. And what that means is that their time is slowing down. When they go back to the space station, there's less mass. They go further away. Time is moving faster there. It's a very extreme example in the movie of 20 years passing, but that's actually what happens in real life as well. And it's been a proven concept that's been shown by using planes with clocks on them flying around the Earth.
In the scenario in which the plane lands is it Diego Garcia?
Yeah, that's the name of the base.
Mm-hmm. What happens in the scenario to the 239 people on board?
Again, highly speculative, but you know, I believe in the good of humanity. So I like to look towards a positive aspect. And if that's the case, then I think you would make deals with the various countries involved for whoever survived this. I mean, we're talking about a lithium ion battery fire that's potentially raging for an hour and 20 minutes. Toxic smoke is billowing from it. And that can they even survive this teleportation event? Now, if the plane can still fly after this, and maybe that ion battery fire got put out because potentially what we're seeing here is absorbing the energy in those batteries or just putting it out from being extremely cold. Then in that situation that people can survive, I would have, you know, deals with the government, send them back to China. Most of the people were from China, so China would have no problem preventing those people from talking. The next most were from Malaysia, which the U.S. White House was talking to Malaysia every day. Obama went and visited Malaysia for the first time in 50 years in early April as well.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. And then the next most are from Indonesia. There's only a handful of people that are Western passengers, including three Americans. Philip Wood is one of them. Philip Wood, actually, there was a picture that was posted on the website 4chan that people just kind of ignored because it didn't make a lot of sense. But that picture was a black picture and had EXIF data for location that pointed to Diego Garcia as well. So for him and someone like him, you might put him into witness protection, give him a new identity. You know, maybe give them a few million dollars. I'm not sure exactly how much it would take to buy people off. What I can say is that none of the families of the victims have reached out to me, despite the fact that at this point, I don't know how many millions of impressions, but tens of millions of impressions already online. You know, if it was my family, I would never give up. And even if there was some far out chance, right, that someone was doing what I was doing, I would definitely reach out to them and say, hey, what do you know? What can you tell me?
Exactly.
So,
who has this technology?
Yeah. So a lot of people initially, especially while we looked at it, thought, well, this must be non-human intelligence. Even I thought that right away because I had looked at UFOlogy. We really had so little basis to understand this technology early on. But as I've looked into the case and kind of what we just talked about here with some of the motive around it and talked to physicists about it, we can actually explain all the physics in terms of just advanced physics that is really just cutting edge even right now. So to me, the logical conclusion is the US military. They're the ones filming this on two cameras. They're the ones who were covering this up. And really, the cover-up here explains why you cover up this South Indian Ocean or cover it up with the South Indian Ocean narrative, where we never found a plane, there was no debris field, there was no acoustic detections, the phones were still ringing from 19 passengers for up to 4 days. To me in general, I don't think that what we're looking at is non-human intelligence, but one leads the other here. I can't really believe that we came across this technology all on our own. I feel like if you look at whistleblower David Grush's testimony to Congress, this would be indicative of a reverse engineering program, in my mind.
So what happened here? Do you think the U.S. military saw a plane that was in distress, had the assets in the area, decided, hey, let's try out this technology and let's video it for posterity or just, you know, to show our superiors that this stuff works?
So there's a few different reasons for the motive. Now, there were 20 Freescale semiconductor scientists and engineers on board this plane that were going to China to help improve the factories. At least that was the official reason. We've shown that this plane was doomed. Landing in the ocean would have broken this plane apart. I was looking at a video yesterday where even on controlled descent, this plane in the ocean is going to fall into pieces. It's not like landing in the Hudson River like Sully Sullenberger. We found a 2005 NSA, National Security Agency, report on commercial superconductivity development and referenced Freescale semiconductors 9 times in it. It also mentioned that this room temperature superconductivity could be operable by 2010 or 2012, but only if the government provided funding for it, which technically creates a direct tie between the technology we see in the videos and the people who are on board. So then you might say, okay, you're either preventing this intellectual property from getting into China because this is a matter of military supremacy. Whoever controls this technology controls the world. It could be a matter of preventing that loss of that IP, that because they're already the ones who have been developing it. Or it could also be a weapons test on a doomed plane. You know, the plane's already doomed. So, you know, maybe we go ahead and try this out. We don't know what's going to happen to the passengers. We'll see what occurs. So the one thing I can rule out is that they're trying to destroy those planes already doomed. You don't need to do that. It just makes things more complicated if that's the case.
I'll just get to repeat that last little bit because you broke up a little bit. It's sort of your final.
Yeah. The last bit there was just the whether or not you're testing this technology on a doomed plane. Because if you're testing on this doomed plane, you may have some protocol that says, okay, plane's doomed. We don't know what'll happen with this technology. Let's go ahead and try it out and see what happens. But you know, you don't really need to do it if the plane is already doomed and you're trying to destroy the plane, because all you have to do in that case is let it crash and everybody's going to die.
Does this technology explain, for example, the Tic Tac UFO video, and much of the modern day UFO phenomenon, to your mind?
I think it does. You know, going back to the whistleblower David Grush, Commander Fravor's witness testimony as well, where he saw this Tic Tac vibrating. One of the things from talking to Salvatore Pius about this technology is there's two ways you can obtain these quantum coherence. One is by accelerated spin, and the other one's by accelerated vibration. And that's the one that seems to be the one that they're using, at least related to these videos that we would see here. And if that's the case, that may be the same thing that these Tic Tacs are doing. I mean, who knows? Maybe even those Tic Tacs are our technology. But in my mind, I think that those Tic Tacs, UAPs, indicate that there is some other potential non-human intelligence out there, maybe on our planet, from somewhere else. We watched it, and over maybe 90 or 100 years, we eventually figured out how to reverse engineer it. But it probably took a long time. Just like if you were to give a caveman an iPhone, they're not going to be able to reverse engineer that iPhone. But if you give them hundreds of years, they can build up their material science. Maybe they can figure it out.
I'm living proof. I still haven't figured it out. I'm the caveman. You're putting yourself out there. Are you getting any blowback? Any, I don't know, men in black visiting you?
So initially, first of all, the first week or so, I was very afraid. Once I started doing podcasts, I felt like I was a bit more protected, because if anything were to happen to me, then it would be very suspicious. But the more I've thought about it, the more I thought that's not really how they go about it anymore. Especially looking at the videos themselves and how they've really not hidden them that well. They've deleted the YouTubes, but they didn't delete the archives. I think too many people put the videos out there. So what they do instead is use disinformation. They've definitely been trying to discredit me on every front. There are troll accounts out there that are trying to connect me to all kinds of fake things, which is kind of sad. But at the same time, I somewhat expected it. So I don't know how much of that stuff's connected to the intelligence community, but that's the way that if you look at Bob Lazar and other people who have tried to disclose this type of information, that's definitely their attack vector, is make somebody non-credible. And that's part of the reason why I kind of chose to be the spokesperson for the case. You know, due to my security clearance, it makes it very difficult for the government to discredit me in that front. All my background's already been vetted by the, you know, highest levels of security in the world. So yeah, there is a lot of blowback around it. But you know, it's nothing I can't handle. I think if you just can't maintain a positive attitude, I'm not really worried about anything happening to me. I would say that if something did, then this is one of the most noble causes there is. You know, going to our leaker, the person that leaked these, I think they had a similar thought. You know, they looked at these videos, maybe they thought right away this was non-human intelligence. They maybe didn't even know what they were looking at. And all they wanted to do was leak to the world what really happened to MH370. And then likely what happened is they were told later on, hey, no, this was our technology. You just showed China, Russia, all our adversaries, potentially our super weapon, you know, and then they were convinced that, yeah, you made a huge mistake. You need to take this plea deal. And now you're going to go to prison for 9 years over this instead of life in prison, which is what they were facing.
If the United States military has this technology, and this is 10 years ago,
yeah,
what do you suppose they have now? How are they looking to use it? How are they using it?
Yeah. And I think that, first of all, they can video the entire world and just do video playback anytime they want, which is why there doesn't need to be people following me around, because they can just pull it up anytime they want. Looking at the cyber system, you can check out the videos about that from Lockheed Martin that are publicly available. They're scanning the world all the time. And if they're creating videos like this, then following people around is easy. A lot of people ask me, if you have this kind of technology, why are you not just ending all the wars? And I would just say, what wars have the United States got into that they need to end? All these wars that we've been in have been these proxy wars that, in my mind, are just about money. You know, so I imagine that we could end any war in an instant if we wanted to. But the downside is then we would reveal our hand, right? We would reveal our aces in the hole. So that's part of the reason why they don't want to reveal this technology. It needs to be a really good reason to put it out there. Now, they definitely didn't expect these videos to leak. There's probably other videos that are a lot like this that are classified. These are almost certainly not the only ones. But that's really what it comes down to, too, is like people say, why not just take over the whole world? Well, it's a lot more complex than that. You know, if we go and we take out Russia and take out their leadership and take out China's leadership or whoever else, right, hypothetically speaking, then what? Are you just going to make all of their citizens Americans? Like, are they going to revolt? You know, geopolitical landscape's a lot more complex than people think.
I would think that if you have this kind of technology, you would constitute a what Richard Dolan would call a breakaway civilization. They don't think in terms of nation states. Who knows? They may be off planet. You know, they could be on a deep space platform somewhere. Who knows? Absolutely mind-blowing. I have to say, one of the most remarkable stories in my 30 plus years of broadcasting. We're going to do this all over again on Coast to Coast, but we'll have a little more time to delve further into this. So all you Coasty fans out there, stay tuned for that. Ashton, a remarkable story. Thank you. Thank you so much. Again, the Twitter handle and the YouTube handle.
Yeah, and thanks, Richard, for having me on here and giving me a platform to spread the evidence, because I think it's so compelling that really anybody that looks at it will at least realize the official story is a lie. And the only real explanation for why to cover that up is this technology we see. So once again, it's at JustXAshton. You can find me either on Twitter, X Corp, or on YouTube, and I'll be there and you can follow along with this investigation yourself.
All right, until Coast, thank you again.
Thank you.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.